It's Issues and Ideas. I'm Marisa Waddell with you, and my guest today is Mike Novak, who's the musical director of the San Luis Obispo Symphony. Welcome, Mike.
Very good to be here, Marisa. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And there are lots of exciting things coming up and going on right now for the symphony. One big thing that happened this year is you celebrated your 30th anniversary with the symphony.
That is amazing.
It is amazing.
It's flown by, really. I mean, they say time flies when you're having fun, and I've been having fun, and time is flying.
And when you came, the symphony was performing at Cuesta College and then moved
right.
to a church in
Pismo
Beach.
Church, yeah,
and
Church of the Nazarene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I first came, we were at the old Cuesta Auditorium back there and by the barracks. And it was quite, you know, rustic and, you know, muddy. When it rained, we'd have to walk through the mud to get to the park from the parking lot to the backstage. The sound on the stage was really, really good. But once you got into the auditorium part of it, into the seats, you couldn't hear the orchestra. It was like behind a screen or behind a glass. So we had called an acoustician in to take a look at it to say, what's the issues here? And he realized that all the ceilings and the walls were absorbent kind of tiles,
mm-hmm.
like you would have in a practice room in a music school. So it was sucking up all the sound. We had a night where the roof leaked. So it was like that day, the night of a concert, we'd had some rain the night before, and the roof at the auditorium leaked. And so we went over to Chumash Auditorium. Mm-hmm. They said, okay, we'll move everybody over there. Now, Chumash is completely the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
It's like super loud.
It's all tile, hard floors
really
and walls.
Really loud. It was the first time that the audience had actually heard how loud the orchestra actually sounded. And so it kind of led to the development of the idea of the new hall. People had been talking about it for quite a while. Some had wanted to refurbish the Fremont and make that a concert hall mm-hmm. situation. And then others wanted to say, no, we want a brand new place. And Cliff Swanson was big on the idea of having it over by Cal Poly. And everything worked out beautifully that's where we were eventually to get it.
So now in the Performing Arts Center on the Cal Poly campus, that's where you hold all of your concerts. And
most of them.
Your
the big symphony,
concert.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's a long way from the mud and an old army auditorium.
Isn't that, yeah. No, but, it was provincial, to say the least.
So what are some other things that have changed in 30 years with the orchestra? I know when you first came on, you started some string workshops.
True.
And I personally noticed that the string section became much more strong within a very short period of time because of the hard work that you did with them.
That is something that I have always loved to do is to bring in experts to come in and help with our players because they're not professional players. Most of them are not professional. And they can use help. They can use some guidance. They can use some tricks or of the trade and some encouragement and some technical ideas that might improve the way that they play. I was very fortunate to have the Angelus String Quartet come up several times and
mm-hmm.
do workshops where we did chamber music workshops, and we got coached by Kathy Lenski and the members of the quartet. Kathy came up many times and worked with our strings before she moved up here. Then when she moved up here, a lot of coaching and really got people playing with a different sound, with a different vibrancy, different style of using the bow, and it really has paid off a lot. I've also brought in players for woodwinds and brass to help them as well. It's always a pleasure, and I think the folks that come in enjoy it themselves because they have an opportunity to share their ideas and their expertise and help us get better. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, it's always been really enjoyable for me to watch, and some of my great teachers have come up here, like Mitchell Lurie. I don't know if you know Mitchell Lurie, but he mm-hmm. was a teacher of mine at the Music Academy of the West. He came up and did a woodwind workshop. That was phenomenal. It was so exciting.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Marisa Waddell with you, and I'm talking with Mike Novak, who's the music director for the San Luis Obispo Symphony, celebrating 30 years leading the symphony. And there's a final concert coming up for this season, Saturday, May 3rd. At the Performing Arts Center in San Luis Obispo, and it features violinist Jennifer Fracci, who will be playing Beethoven's Violin Concerto in D. Also, Petrushka by Stravinsky is on the program. Tell me a little bit about Jennifer.
I have just gotten to know Jennifer Fracci, and it's a wonderful story. A dear friend of mine, Stuart Roop, was in Santa Fe a couple of years ago and called me I was at home. I was at working at the computer. The phone rang. Stuart called, and he said, Mike, I've got to tell you about this great violin player who just I heard play chamber music. Her name is Jennifer Fracci, and she's wonderful, and you've got to get her to play with the symphony. She's just fantastic, the beautiful sound, what great musicianship. I mean, everything about her was something that appealed to me right away. I said, sure, Stu, I would love that. I don't know her, and I don't know how to reach her. And he said, hang on a second, she's right here. And he handed me the phone, and we got introduced that way. That led to me looking her up on YouTube, and I saw that she had done the Stravinsky Violin Concerto, which is a bear of a piece, and played it beautifully. I mean, just really took care of it. Mm-hmm. And I went, okay, this is the real deal here. It's always interesting. People ask me, you know, how do you get your soloists? Many of the soloists I know from playing chamber music with over my lifetime, whether we've been at music festivals together or folks in L.A. that I've played with in chamber groups. There's the people in the studios that I work with that are at the top of their game, and a lot of them play in the LA Chamber Orchestra, or some play in the LA Philharmonic or Pacific Symphony. Mm-hmm. Others are in chamber groups, and you know, I've always thought that if you're a really good chamber music player, then you're going to be a good soloist because you train to listen. So you're not in your own little world, but you're part of the complete ensemble. People like David Kim, I met at his, actually met on Martha's Vineyard, playing chamber music with him. Mm-hmm. And now he's concertmaster of the Philadelphia Orchestra. Same thing with Zul Bailey. I met Zul actually here at the Mozart Festival. Mm-hmm. When his piano trio, the Nava Perlman Trio, came to play. His violinist, Kurt Nikodin, came out later to solo with us. Zul's been with us 4 or 5 times now. So those are some of the ways, but also recommendations by friends of mine who've played chamber music. Robert Thies, Rena Dokshitsky, people saying, hey, this is really one very talented person, mm-hmm. and you really should get them up here. And that's been the case with Jennifer Fracci. Mm-hmm.
And she's playing Beethoven's Violin Concerto.
Yeah.
He's a symphony guy, but here's this one violin concerto, and it's really kind of an iconic piece.
You know what? It's sort of like doing Hamlet, and I hope she's not listening, but I have found out that many violinists are afraid of that concerto. I've had experiences where I was doing the violin concerto, I was conducting the violin concerto with a violin soloist, and they wouldn't come out of their dressing room.
Wow.
The orchestra had tuned, the audience was waiting. Where's X? Looking around backstage, not there. Going in the back of the dressing room in a little small cubbyhole, hey, Mr. X, or Miss X, are you ready to go? Yeah, Mike, I'll be there in a few minutes. Well, we're all set. The orchestra's tuned, and we're ready to go. I'll be coming. It's like, oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. So, and this is not the only time I've heard of experiences like this where someone, after they did their first performance, shut the door and didn't want to see anybody. No visitors after the concert, and just cry themselves, you know, for hours. Now, with Jennifer, when I said Beethoven, she said, fabulous, love it.
So what is it about the Beethoven?
What is it about Hamlet? Is it that you are related to other players who have performed it on the highest level? Do you owe it to the composer to be great? I mean, I had times in my life when I've found myself really uncomfortable performing a piece, or that I just felt that I wasn't doing the composer service. At that level, you just go, oh, my God, I'm not ready for this.
For someone who's never heard the Beethoven Violin Concerto, how would you describe it?
I just love it. I just think it's such a beautiful piece of music. It's so gorgeous. It's just Beethoven at his very, very best. It's Opus 61, so it's not where he was having tremendous difficulties yet. Maybe he was losing a little hearing or not feeling so great today. But in general, it's D major, so it's optimistic. It's a good key. The rondo in the last movement is just happy. The first movement it's almost symphonic in a way because it has such a long orchestra interlude where we just play and play and play and play and play. And then the violin plays a little bit, and then we play and play and play and play. You know, it's kind of wonderful. But so it's really rhapsodic and orchestral and just gorgeous. It's a beautiful piece of music.
Thank you.
So also on this May 3rd concert is music by Stravinsky, a ballet, Petrushka.
He wrote some ballets, I understand.
Yeah.
This was the second of the famous three. The first of them was Firebird, 1910. This is Petrushka, 1911. And then, of course, Le Sac de Printemps, 1913. All under the advisory of Diaghilev, the great choreographer. And Nijinsky was his dancer. I mean, he had it made there with the greats. I mean, benefactors and stars.
Compared to The Rite of Spring and Firebird, Petrushka seems very light.
Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, it is. Well, because it takes place at a fair, and there's all kinds of activity happening. There's booths, and there's barkers, and there's, you know, all kinds of characters selling their wares, and there's a bear that shows up, and Petrushka is a puppet. Mm-hmm. He's one of three puppets that's run by the charlatan, they call him. Basically, he's just sort of a puppet master, but he brings his puppets to life, and so there becomes a situation where there are three puppets. There's Petrushka, who's not very good looking, not very happy. Nobody loves him. He's just a pathetic character. Mm-hmm. But he's got big dreams because one of the other characters is the ballerina, and he just wants her to love him. But she's kind of occupied by the Moor, who's kind of the snazzy guy here. And he's got his own kind of way about him, which is much more superior. Sort of like the bully type.
Yeah, he's kind of a bad guy.
He is a bad guy. And of course, the ballerina is swept away with him, and they do a beautiful waltz. So there's all kinds of interesting things about it. In the end, Petrushka is slain with a sword, and the townspeople call the cops in because, hey, this guy died right here. And when the cops arrive, the charlatan does his presto mumbo jumbo, and Petrushka is a puppet again. He said, no harm, no foul. Hey, it's just a puppet. He's okay. And he takes him back, and as they're walking back, the ghost of Petrushka shows up on the roof of a house nearby, and it freaks out the charlatan. So kind of a little revenge there.
Listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Marisa Waddell, and I'm talking with Mike Novak, the music director of the San Luis Obispo Symphony. Their final concert is coming up on Saturday, May 3rd at the Performing Arts Center in San Luis Obispo, featuring Petrushka, as we've been talking about, and the Beethoven Violin Concerto in D. And there's also a big concert coming up featuring the Youth Symphony. It's your 30th year. It's the Youth Symphony's 50th anniversary. It was founded by Bozzo Coroscelli, who will be there.
Yes.
This big concert is coming up on Sunday, May 25th. A student of Bozzo Coroscelli is now an internationally known conductor. Kent Nagano will be there too.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Really excited about it. The opportunity to showcase all the work that they have done over 50 years is outstanding. People will be coming, alumni will be coming from out of the area to join in the celebration and either be part of the audience or be part of the production. They'll be playing on stage as well. Mm-hmm. And Bozzo will be conducting and Kent will be conducting. And, of course, Nancy Nagano will be there and Carol Kirsten will be there. And I got to say, Carol Kirsten has been around helping everybody out in music education in this community for a long time.
A long time teaching and conducting Youth Symphony.
Everybody has come through Carol's studio at one time or another. Mm-hmm. Including me.
So education is a big part of what the San Luis Obispo Symphony does. The San Luis Obispo Symphony adopted the Youth Symphony several years ago. But that's not all that you do. You don't just do the Youth Symphony, which is pretty big by itself. There's lots more to the San Luis Obispo Symphony's education program.
Sure. Yeah, there are many, many aspects of it. And part of it was when I came here, I started to see that the last students who got strings in the schools were now graduating from high school. So that meant, as of those guys, nobody was getting strings in the schools anymore. So it was a big red flag for me way back then. And we started off by getting schools interested in doing a before-school program or an after-school program, and we had some teachers go and teach those classes. We still do, and 30 years later, they're still going in and to schools and teaching afterwards. Symphony String Quartet would go around and do concerts in the classrooms. Pretty much a third of our budget goes to music education. And if it means the petting zoo that you'll see at the Mission Plaza or the Thursday Market.
Where people can look at instruments and
touch
try them out.
And play them the first time. And we have the music van that goes to schools where the kids can have an opportunity to touch them and play them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's you'd be surprised how many people get sparked by that one moment.
Well, all of this takes funding. not just the education, but the performances too, because the concert tickets don't pay for a concert, really.
That's true.
Where does the symphony get its funding?
We get it from various sources. Most of it comes from individual contributions. Mm-hmm. We have people in this community who really care about music education, whether they've had it in their own life or not, and they want to see that these opportunities are still there for the new generations to come.
You have a fundraiser coming up on May 31st. It's the Bach and Birdies.
Bach and Birdies golf tournament, right. I love it. It used to be Bach and Bowl. Uh-huh. It was like rock and roll, but it became Bach and Bowl. And now it became Bach and Birdies, two of my passions, bowling and golf. We're playing at Cypress Ridge Golf Course, which is a lovely facility. We love them out there. We'd love to have your participation if you're interested in joining us. It's really a fun day. We have a great time.
So besides golf and the San Luis Obispo Symphony, you do lots of other things. And a lot of it has to do with working in the movies. What's going on outside of the San Luis Symphony in your life right now, Mike?
Well, I have a 12-year-old daughter.
Yeah, there's that too.
And that is quite a fabulous opportunity for me to be a dad. Unfortunately, I don't get to see her as much as I'd like to. And part of it is because I'm spending most of my time in the car, going back and forth to L.A. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been working on, this year, I've been working on two shows for ABC, Once Upon a Time and Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. And they were split up so that I'd be in L.A. for a day, and then I'd come back the next day, and then I'd go back the next day. Just been working on a few movies recently that have been really exciting.
And you're a violist as well as a conductor.
Viola, uh-huh. So that's fun. It's nice to be part of that tribe, too, and keep my friendships alive, my musical, you know, contacts there with my colleagues. Also, I'm happy that we have some chamber music concerts here on the up here with the symphony, and so it's a wonderful life. I mean, it really is. I couldn't be happier, really, the way things have turned out since I've got this job 30 years ago.
Well, thank you for coming in and talking with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It's Issues and Ideas. I'm Marisa Waddell, and my guest has been Michael Novak, who's the music director of the San Luis Obispo Symphony. We've been talking about his 30th anniversary with the symphony, the final concert of the season for the symphony coming up Saturday, May 3rd, and then the big celebration of the Youth Symphony's 50th anniversary coming up on Sunday, May 25th. Lots happening with the symphony this season and next season, too, I'm sure.
It's going to be exciting, too.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to talking to you about that when that time comes.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Mike. For Issues and Ideas, I'm Marisa Waddell.